Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, it's Mel Robbins, host of the Mel Robbins Podcast. I don't want you to miss out on the life you could be living. I mean, just imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to go from thinking about what you wanted to actually taking action and making it happen. Well, this is your chance to find out how different your life could be. I just created a free training that has over 2 hours of premium video curriculum. It even comes with a companion workbook that is 29 pages long. Do not let another year of your life go by wishing things were different. Go to MelRobbins.com/make it happen and allow me to help you make it different.
This is about a tango where you're torn between two men, and that's just how I feel right now. It's like, whoa! How did that happen?
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Hola, muchachos and muchachas. What an Moss episode of The Bachelorette we experienced last night. Is that Moss?
Great, great pronunciation.
Thank you.
Exactly what it means. This week, there was 100% less Chad, but 150% more Passion.
Also 100% more two-on-ones than any past season of The Bachelorette. Am I doing percentages right?
Today, we're joined by HuffPost's own Snapchat expert and social media editor, Julia Bush, to break down this week in romance.
Thanks for joining us, Julia.
Thanks for having me. Crossing up bucket list items.
Yeah.
And you also actually went to an open casting call for The Bachelor recently. So we're going to hear all about how that experience was later on.
Oh, Lord. Prepare yourselves.
So this week, they're in Argentina. I'm not going to do this guys. They're in Argentina this week. And
specifically in Buenos Aires.
Yes.
And no one could pronounce it. There was a lot of very painful Spanish pronunciation this
week. And attempts to use Spanish that didn't quite grasp the meanings of very basic
like
Spanish vocabulary. You know what they say? A two-on-one date is no mas. It's not good.
It's not what that means. For all of our listeners, we're being sarcastic.
Yes, we do.
We realize that that is incorrect.
Yeah.
But JoJo says she feels the romance in the air. She's looking great in a really... She wore a lot of red dresses last night.
She pulled out the red dresses.
It was very into
it. It was very
like, well
subtle.
Done,
it was very like, I'm in a spicy Latin country and I'm wearing a red dress that hugs my curves.
But you know what? I was there
emoji.
For it.
Yeah. I mean, she looks great in red. Also, though... Her first outfit where she had like the red pencil dress and a white coat that was just over her shoulders. She looked so much like a first lady. It was such like a state visit sort of costume where she gets off the plane and she's like, hello, people of Argentina.
a state visit of sorts.
It was very
diplomatic
classy.
Mission for love.
Exactly. And they built up a really solid special relationship between the U.S. and Argentina this week.
So Chris Harrison shows up because he actually exists this episode a little bit. I feel like they're really looking for jobs for Chris to do besides, say, prepare yourself, this is the final rose.
He, doesn't even deliver cards anymore. Like, he's not there. The card appears on the ottoman.
They were like, shit, we really need to give Chris a few more therapy sessions.
Oh, baby.
And I think that JoJo kind of needs more therapy sessions, so it's surprising to me. Like, one of the things that she said before Chris even showed up was, Because on the last episode, we saw her go out with Robbie, and he said that he loved her very soon in the relationship. And she was like, and that felt really good. But also, you know, it's scary because the last two guys who told me they loved me, it didn't work out. And I was like, yeah.
Yes, that's literally what happens when you go through breakups and then you're on a reality show single and you had a past relationship.
Like, if that weren't true, then you wouldn't be here because you would presumably be in one of those relationships. And that's just one of those things that,
also,
like, dating is
about. Don't need to hear about Ben anymore. Why, like, is this excessive referencing
every
season?
And then she's always like, I know, because I have to talk about my ex. He wasn't brought up in this conversation, but now I'm going to talk about
him. Also, all the men are like, yes, we are aware you were, in fact, on The Bachelor.
And it was all on television.
Yeah.
And none of them are unaware of The Bachelor, apparently, because they all don't know that there's not more than one two-on-one date, which was crazy. Chris was like, here's another two-on-one date. And they were like, oh, shit, there's another one. Like, they're aware of the rules.
Well, and he was, Chris had to be sort of like, this is the first time. I appreciated that because I didn't remember if this was the first time or not. There's never been two-on-ones before. So Chris shows up to tell them
that. I had a feeling that there was going to be another two-on-one just because the first one came so early. Mm-hmm. But this is really close together.
And they did sort of do it in a half-hearted way with Emily and Haley.
Yeah, that's true.
The twins, sorry, I was being unclear. On Ben's season, the twins sort of have a sort of half-assed two-on-one. And then that wasn't framed as a two-on-one, but that's what it was. And that's when he sent Haley home.
Did he have any other?
Yeah, with Olivia.
Oh, right, of course. Remember? Yeah, so he did have two-on-ones, of course.
They had the traditional, like, villain and
yes.
And villain's enemy two-on-one with Emily and Olivia. Mm. So Emily got to go on multiple two-on-ones.
And she won both of them.
Yeah, and that worked out so well for her.
R.I.P.
Okay, so
Wells first, gets the first one-on-one. Oh, Wells.
I can't even talk about it. It's like really emotionally devastating and too much.
Claire and I were discussing this last night, but this is the first time we have had a genuine crush on someone that we've watched on this show, and it's a disturbing feeling.
Yeah,
I was like analyzing myself. I was like, is there something wrong with me that I'm like actually into someone?
And then I went on Twitter and I was like, oh, the whole internet feels this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just only ever have like bro jocks on this show.
Right.
So everyone's like, oh my God, this guy, he can speak sentences. He's
I feel
a little
like we'd
bit
go
artsy.
On a date and we'd have a conversation that would
like,
have sentences and thoughts in it and jokes maybe even.
It was like at the point where I was scrolling through his Instagram and I was like, he likes dogs. I like dogs. Yeah.
We have so much in common.
We have so much in common.
I mean, the good news for me is I can never be with Wells because I'm engaged, and that's the only reason. But
so I step off, Claire.
Yeah, I comfort myself.
That's great. Now you can be my wingwoman.
I comfort myself with knowing that he does not like cats, and I'm a cat person. I love dogs too, but I don't know if I could live with one.
He also doesn't like pizza, which is the one strike against him.
You would get all the pizza.
Although, yeah, then maybe he would just give me an entire pizza.
Right. And he probably can smell margarita, which is amazing compared
that
to the rest.
That was so
of them.
Funny.
But we can get to that later.
the thing about Wells, I mean, I've had definitely guys before, like when Nick Vile was on, I was like kind of defensive of him. Like I saw certain things in him that reminded me of guys that
less
I liked.
Bro-y of the final two.
Right. And I didn't get why people hated him. So I felt a little defensive of him, but I wasn't like swooning. Then, like, Sean was a great guy, but, like, not my type at all.
Right.
Ben was great, but felt like my little brother.
I thought Ari and Jeff with one F were both cute.
Yeah,
but they weren't. I wasn't like, oh, I would see you in real life and try to date you.
I liked Ari a lot, but, like, he was too cocky for me. I feel like I like when Wells just seems so, like, he's like, me?
I think I just concluded that I like men who aren't that confident.
And he's like,
that's okay.
Or have too many abs that are visible.
I just want someone cuddly who will soak up all the love, you know?
And he seems like he can actually hold an intelligent conversation.
That too.
Which is always a plus. And unique on this franchise.
Yeah. So his date card says, Bésame, bésame muchacho. So a little play on Bésame mucho.
Oh, hilarious. They're really up in the game. Yeah. Keep them coming.
But, and then clearly the producers were like, would you like to explain to the guys what this is about? And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm the only one who's never kissed JoJo.
And all of them just look shocked.
They handled it so immaturely.
They cannot believe that someone has made it this far without making out with JoJo.
Like, what? Ugh. I should know this, but what week are we in?
Six.
So
it actually is pretty top eight.
That is pretty long.
It's pretty long.
All right, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
They're so concerned.
They also haven't had a lot of good one-on-one
time. No time with her.
Yeah.
I think she, you know, you get the feeling that she's kind of keeping him around because he is a nice person. She likes him enough.
Yeah.
He's cute and he seems to get along with the other guys. So why not keep someone like that around? Like there's always that middle pack of men that the lead or women that the lead keeps around because they enjoy them, but they have no romantic interest in them.
That's fair.
It's just so. Ugh.
But JoJo so clearly has terrible taste in men.
She
because
does.
Wells would be number one. Wells and Derek.
But the way all the guys acted when he said that was just so. It was like being in sixth grade and everyone finds out that, you know, one of the guys has a date and they're like, ew.
They're just truly all 8 year olds. This whole episode, they're all 8 year olds.
Yes. Like, it's so funny to
watch.
She's
a first grade teacher.
Yeah, she came in to pick up Wells and one of them made like a little like, oh, are you guys gonna kiss finally? And they all like, she was like, yeah, that's really funny.
She was not having, I love those moments for JoJo. That's when I really like her. I think she really shines when she's just shutting men down.
She's just like, thank you for your really immature insight.
Yeah,
okay, bye.
Goodbye.
So they go to Fuerza Bruta, which is so cool.
They've used that before on, I think the first time I ever saw Fuerza Bruta on TV was on an episode of America's Next Top Model years ago.
That definitely seems like a good modeling
gig. Yeah, they did some, like, photo shoots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuerza Bruta style.
It's also, like, showing here,
it's
right?
In New York.
Like, there's a show here.
This is not an Argentinian only situation.
Our Argentinian things that we've chosen are soccer and a show that is also in many other locations.
And a rendition of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, which you can't sing anywhere else, Julia.
It's a cosmopolitan world, guys. You know, we all have soccer now.
You're right.
We all have Fuerza Bruta.
Yeah, so they watch a little bit of Fuerza Bruta, which is, you know, people dancing basically suspended in a pool above them. And then they get to get in the water and finally they make out because
they're
literally like grasping at each other's half naked bodies. If there was ever a time.
Yeah. It was if I were Wells, I would have choked so hard.
I know. How did
he
they
almost
do it?
Did.
It was like that Justin Bieber performance where like it's just pouring rain on him and he's got that like hat on and he's like, I can kind of say the words. That's how I felt.
Oh god.
It's like you're gonna drown both of you right here.
Yeah, JoJo was like, come here.
And then she just, clearly the producers had been talking to both of them about it because afterwards she just cheers and says, yeah, we did it. Yeah. And you could tell she was kind of directing that to someone off camera.
Yeah. Aww. I felt bad for him.
I know.
I know.
That's the other thing is like, I saw that and I was like, I love that like playful sort of feeling. And that's what I would want in a relationship. Like when,
but we
if
know
Luke
JoJo
like grabbed
well
my
enough.
Face and was like, passion, I'd be like, okay, dude, like calm down.
Step up.
Right. Life and that is so again why we do not have the same taste in men as JoJo does.
JoJo
but we know JoJo well
like
enough
Wells.
Now to know that she is more into the Luke variety of passion.
I don't know. We're at the point where I don't like anyone left, which means like we're getting close to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
that
making
always happens. So of course they give Wells the artsy date. They do Fuerza Bruta. They make out. Then they do some weird performance art where they run.
With Fuerza Bruta.
Is that with Fuerza? Okay, I was so confused by that.
They did a weird thing, though, where he was, like, supposed to run, and he was, like, in place, suspended by a wire, and then there's, like, a fake gunshot, and he's supposed to, like, go limp, but he, like, is, like, clearly, like, kind of nervous about doing that. He just sort of, like, stops running.
Also, like, the least sexy thing ever. Like, pretend to get shot in the chest now.
Yeah, and then she, like, walks past him in a coat and looks at him and then falls onto a
but of
mat.
Of course they gave him the artsy date.
Yeah, but they also gave him, like, the most awkward date. And it was just, like, Wells is so awkward and nerdy. But, like, you're making him look awkward
also,
and nerdy.
Also, in the real world, this guy is not awkward and nerdy.
Exactly.
He's, like, the dream of the awkward, nerdy guy that everyone is actually in love with, even the hot girls.
He's, like, the J-school bro who, like, you would want to date. Yeah. There's one of them.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was always like, this is the kind of guy that I would try to, like, get the attention of when I was online dating. And he'd be like, I am besieged by hot girls right now, so
he's
step
like,
off.
I date JoJo.
Yeah. But then I see all these tweets that are like, oh, Wells is never going to get out of the friend zone. He's, like, the president of the friend zone. He's just, and I'm just like,
you're like, no.
He does fine. He does fine.
Also, let's stop pretending the friend zone is a real thing.
It's not a real thing. All over my keyboard. Zone, really.
Wells makes a comment like, the neurotic, terrified Wells is finally falling away. And my first reaction was just like, no, I like your neuroses. Yeah. That's what's appealing.
That's why all us, like, New York-based women who tweet about The Bachelor are like,
we know this person.
So then they go to dinner and they talk about past relationships, which is JoJo's favorite thing, because then she can be like, I talk about my past relationship all the time. His name is Ben. We dated on television. And
you read all about my other past relationship in In Touch magazine.
Yeah.
Like
just last week.
And so he tells her that basically his last serious relationship, they were together for several years and lived together, and they just sort of fell out of love, and it was just a friendship, and so they had to go their separate ways. And she heard that he is someone who can fall out of love with someone, and that is not what she wants to hear.
Fizzled, and that is very disturbing to her.
Yeah. The most real conversation anyone's ever had on this show, I feel like.
It was...
And she was like, no, undateable.
Yeah, she was like, here's the thing. I want to be with someone where it'll be effortless and the spark will never go out, and all we'll ever do is look at each other and begin passionately kissing. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that I can find that. And he was like, no, you can't.
He was so cynical and lovely.
He was like, I hope you find what you're looking for, but, like, you're not going to. She's so
young. Good luck with the 26-year-old professional athletes that you have left.
Yeah, that spark is never going to go out. But it might turn into something a little more scary. Just something to think about. And, yeah, so she picks up the rose. And she says, I can't give you this rose. So mean.
You were an incredible human being, but I don't know if you're the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And then all of Twitter alternately got excited because Wells is back on the market and got very depressed because now we live in a post-Wells Bachelorette world.
So true.
Wells started trending on Twitter.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I went through his at mentions because I'm creepy, and I was like, you're getting infinite marriage proposals on the internet today. He replied to none of them.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I thought it was just us.
He did save Claire's tweet about...
Oh, did he?
That your hair was falling out because he's
did?
So cute. Yeah.
Yes.
And he faved one of my tweets. So he did not respond. He did not respond to our... proposals to have him on the show.
Wells, if you're out there.
Wells, come on the show.
We're starting a guerrilla social media campaign. If anyone listening to this could take the time to tweet at Wells that he should come on Here to Make Friends. Last week we asked people to follow Robbie's ex on Instagram, and people really delivered.
Yeah.
I've never been so honored.
Yeah.
So we really need you now to tweet at Derek and Wells and tell them that our show is awesome and they need to come on.
We won't accost them in the office at all.
So we need to probably move on from Wells. We're getting a little out of control.
We get to the group date with all the dudes left except for Derek and Chase. A weird one. Derek was like, oh, well, so I guess it's like, may the best connection with JoJo, you know, progress. And Alex, like, throws himself in front of Chase and is like, no, it's like, may the best man win. It's like, Alex, this
There's
doesn't
so,
concern you.
So many aggro men left.
Yeah,
so many.
by the day of the 2-on-1 date, Chase was just like, "Don't look at me, bro. Don't look at me in the eyes." It's like, calm down. You have to get through this day without killing each other.
Total.
Chase has no ability to make any facial expressions.
Oh my God, he is stone faced.
His face does not change. It's like the way that you hear highly Botoxed women parodied, that they have to say all their emotions because you can't see any of them. That's exactly how Chase is.
Yeah.
And he's so confused why JoJo can never read his passion.
It's so stressful to watch.
I keep telling her that I'm opening up to her. How does she not
realize?
And he uses kind of a monotone, too.
You think I'm not giving anything back?
Okay, group date. So all
Luke,
the other dudes.
Robbie, Jordan, James T, and Alex.
They go into the Boca district.
Music, tango, food.
Yeah. I 95% thought that they said that there was music and tingling. And then I was like, oh, tangoing. Okay, that makes more sense. But first they have the soccer date.
I was really scared James Taylor was going to be the only one to not make a goal.
So, yeah. So first they're playing a little like 5-on-5 street soccer with obviously just some random men they found who were in no way rounded up by producers. And then they're like, we're going to do a little competition. The goalie from the other team is going to stand against the wall and try to block the shots. And then whoever makes the goal gets to kiss the girl, regardless of how she feels about it. And all of the macho guys are really, really overconfident about it. And then I think James is the only one who makes his.
And then Robbie tries to pay off the goalie, right?
Yeah, and he still blocks. Yeah, and then he's like, give me my money back, bro. So then James Taylor gets the kiss, and he really delivers the little tiny peck.
And he's on a very quick train heading to I Love JoJoVille.
Oh, God.
So bad.
And then they carry JoJo off on their shoulders. Why does this keep happening? Is JoJo asking?
It's every episode.
I don't remember the last time I was carried by a person.
Yeah. And definitely not multiple people. I don't think I've ever been carried by
JoJo,
multiple people.
We're not sure you can walk. We need to Ariana Grande this shit.
You can't do this yourself.
And then after the football date, Robbie tweeted, the best part of this date was getting to carry my trophy off the field with a picture
gross.
Of that.
That's gross.
And I was like,
you're like, you don't actually call everything women hurts. Tangible items. That's so weird.
It was just very caveman-ish. But I do think that JoJo's into it because it keeps happening.
So they move on to the second half of the date.
Yes.
And the main thing I took away from this half of the date is that the camera loves zooming in on Luke's crotch. We got a lot of Luke crotch shots.
Yeah.
And JoJo's hands on his leg.
Was something going on down there?
I don't think
the
anything was
slipping?
Going on down there. I think they just wanted to imply that something could, because there was a lot of slurping sounds making out.
Also,
deeply.
The breathing this episode.
Heavy breathing.
Yeah. Whoa. I've heard it before because I'm sure their mics are really close, but oh my God.
I think they also add some of it in post.
Do they really?
What if they call them back in and we're like, can you just do that again?
Just like another.
That's what I want to know is where do they get these noises? Because I've seen things about sound mixing and how they work and how they make the noises, and they have to get really creative to make noises that sound like hooves on cobblestones or whatever.
It's like coconuts or something.
Yeah. And it's like, how were they possibly making those noises? Were they I'm gonna lick applesauce off of a plate. I'm gonna make out with my coworker just platonically so that we can capture the noises. Do they bring in a cat and have the cat clean its butt? Because that's what my cat sounds like when she cleans her butt. I don't know. Just a lot of things that were going through my mind that they could possibly be doing.
I feel like those are far more creative than what do you guys think? Actually occurring, which is one man
Luke
in a phone
was
booth.
Just heavy breathing. And
yeah, or he's a Darth breather. Look out.
Yeah.
So she makes out with Luke a lot. She talks to James Taylor, and he makes the fatal mistake of shit-talking Jordan.
Yeah.
Clearly the guy she likes the best.
Really inarticulately.
If you're going to go in on someone, you have to have a specific instance to bring up. You have to back up your claims. Instead, he just said, he's Jordan Rodgers. And she said, what does that mean?
Which is a
fair question.
He's just like, oh, you know,
he's
like
celebrity just, and people are going to listen to him because I'm Jordan. I have a billion watt smile and I'm in magazines. It's like, is that really? Like, I don't think most people knew who Jordan Rogers was before this.
Absolutely not.
I certainly had no idea he existed.
I do think that James Taylor is describing a real fault of Jordan's, because I think that we can see that when Jordan is in a conflict with, like, a relatively normal guy in the house, he quickly gets very, like, dismissive and very, like, well, you know, I don't have to listen to you, bro. Yes. Like, I'm in the right.
And, look, I've met people with that personality type. I think it's a personality thing.
Taylor did not address it in a way.
And it's also not actually something that makes sense to go to the lead about.
Right. He's like, I don't like this guy.
People act like jerks in different situations. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's life. And yeah, if you get a bunch of men in a house who are all...
Well, but if you really are like, oh, I'm worried that JoJo is not seeing the side of him, I don't want her to end up with someone who she doesn't fully grasp the nature of, that's like a falling on your sword moment. Like, she's not going to like you. She might question Jordan more and be more aware of that. And if that's all you want to accomplish, then you just have to accept that she's not going to pick you now, definitely.
But I think he did it as a little bit of a, oh, maybe this would benefit me.
That never works.
And it never works.
Never works.
You know that a producer was building him up and was like, you know, I saw Jordan being a real jerk to you during that game of cards. Maybe you need to bring it up to JoJo.
Let's talk about poker. And JoJo was like, this is a mature argument. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this.
Obviously, she goes right to Jordan and says, you know, I believe James. He's a genuine soul. I don't like entitled men. She says she doesn't like that. She doesn't like entitlement.
And then, she does, though, is the thing. She does like entitled men. Like, she doesn't realize that she likes that, but she does.
Thus begins the question, what does the word entitlement mean? Which no one can answer, apparently.
Jordan certainly does not know, but he knows he's not it.
It's definitely not him.
It's definitely not him. He's not sure what it means, but it's definitely not him.
Yeah. And then he comes back very heated up with his glass of
menacing
Pinot
white
Grigio.
Wine.
Yes. And sits next to James Taylor and begins aggressively swirling it in the way that one does.
And everyone's like, you okay, bro?
It's like he's at a wine tasting. He's doing that, like, wine tasting swirl, but, like, he's going to hurt someone with it.
I expected, like, a full pony boy moment. In his, like, leather jacket, he, like, smashes the glass on the ground and he's, like, ready to go.
Yeah, he looked straight out of Greece or something.
He and Luke together were just, like, Dallas.
They dressed together. It was adorable.
Do we think this is the end of the Jordan-James friendship?
It seems like it.
They probably got over it after the show, but...
Maybe.
I hope they sat down and they were like, poker, bro? And they were like, poker? Not... an issue. Let's go. Let's be friends again.
Let's just never play poker together again. I really liked when Jordan was just like, how is one entitled when stating that the rules of a game are such?
It was
when
like,
we're
it
just,
was
you're just stating that they are such,
meta
okay?
It was so how does one act entitled?
5-year-old Jordan totally was the kid who like made up the rules to the game and then told you that those were the rules. Yeah. And so then you played the game and they
and
always
win.
And
then was so confident about it that you just believed him and gave in to it.
Yeah. It really, like, triggers something for me, maybe because I have, like, an older brother. But, like, this feeling of, like, no, you do not tell me that the rules of the game are such. I know things, too, okay? And I know about these other rules, and they are real, okay? They're real rules. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. This is all on television.
And so in the end, JoJo is like, I'm actually not going to give the rose to either of you petulant bros. I'm going to give the rose to Luke, who thus far has received a near-perfect edit.
Yeah, he was just, like, cradling her gently and worshiping her mouth with his mouth.
I have a feeling that if he ever has a flaw, it's going to be framed as a really appealing flaw. Like, he just doesn't have enough of a sense of humor. Yeah, he's just so passionate and serious all the time.
Yeah. I think he's going to get, like, a Lauren B-style flaw. Like, is it too good to be true?
His abs are too hard.
Yeah. His face is too chiseled. I like his face, like, doesn't work for me. But I mean,
it works for JoJo.
It works for JoJo.
We
and
are
that's
team
what
JoJo
matters.
Here.
Yeah. And the more that we see of them, the more it reminds me of Chris Harrison's Texan romance novel, The Perfect Letter.
And oh, like, is this, that a thing that you've read?
Oh, it is.
Heck yes.
It is. And he's like the smoldering Texas man who's like a real man, you know? He's not like her nerdy publishing boyfriend back at home. He's like got hard muscles and he makes her feel alive. And he's from Texas.
Yeah, I grew up in Texas / went to high school in Texas. And he is every boy with a pickup truck in like a brown fuzzy coat. I can like picture the coat that he would wear in my high school.
Oh, God.
Oh, there's so many of them.
We're going to take a short break, but stick around. After the break, we'll hear from Julia what actually goes on at an open casting call for The Bachelor. Don't miss it.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show. Now it's time for the two-on-one date, which miraculously Derek is still alive for because Chase was getting pretty aggressive by the morning of.
Not with his face.
Ever.
Yeah.
Although he could probably like do some damage with just his face because it's so chiseled.
It's like a sort of axe shape. So Derek is feeling very confident going into this date. He's like a little smiley. He's like, we have a great connection.
Chase is also somewhat confident.
But he's like, I'm taking this so like, seriously, bro. This isn't a laughing matter.
Yeah, he gets really angry that Derek is smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
This is a battle.
They're going into battle together against each other.
Oh, he did say that.
Yeah.
Oh. And what way to do battle? Then to tango in a little threesome.
Classic. Oh,
it was just...
It was very center stage. That final scene where she's torn between the two.
Yeah, I mean, she's really torn between them. It's like fate. It's like...
They were really beating us over the head with the metaphors. JoJo even is narrating, like, first, I'm in Chase's arms, and I can feel the passion. But then, because of the choreography... I'm in Derek's arms.
Wild.
Because of this date that we arranged beforehand.
And because of the actual choreographed steps of this dance, specifically.
No, yeah, she's like, this is about a tango where you're torn between two men. And that's just how I feel right now. It's like, whoa. How did that happen?
And Chase just stone faces. Tangoing on a two-on-one is incredibly stressful.
Which
I felt so funny.
True.
Yeah. He's like, a two-on-one is already stressful, but then tango dancing on a two-on-one
I guess that is stressful.
And none of them seem like particularly dancey. Like they're not very good, any of them.
No.
So it's like hard to
watch. But the dances were a little bit sexy.
They were sexy.
I could see. Of all the things that you have to do on a two-on-one, at least they had an activity. It wasn't just, like, go into the woods with machetes and stare at each other.
Yeah, they really wanted some shit to go down on that date.
We knew so early on Derek was going home.
Oh, don't say that.
Because he keeps saying,
oh, I had hope.
I'm so open. I have such a connection. And then at one point, he says JoJo's the most amazing woman. And he says, I'm falling for you. And she just says, I appreciate that. It's not the thing you want to hear.
I think he's too open. I think that when she has a guy who is open with her, she's like, this is what I want, and it's already happening. So that's not that interesting. When it's Chase, she has to be really aggressive with it. She has to confront him.
She likes to be the one to do a little bit of the work.
Yeah, and
she
then
wants to pull the openness out of them.
She's like, I just want you to be more open. Why are you holding back? And then he's like, I guess I'm scared and I have feelings for you. And she's like, this is what I want. I want you to be vulnerable with me. It's like,
it was so bizarre. And Derek literally just did the exact same thing except with no coercion.
Right. And apparently that's not really what she definitely wants, just to feel like she's the one woman who can like pry a little bit of emotion out of.
Right. And Chase even says, like, it's really new for me to have to express these things.
He's
like,
ready for
like
marriage.
The very basic level of I like you.
Oh, God.
This is new to him. I just felt like all of his exes must be watching this like, oh, God.
Yeah. Typical.
Yeah,
that's being an ex of someone who goes on one of these shows is just miserable.
Yeah.
If you had some sort of like traumatic, fiery breakup though, and you like had some sort of hatred for this human to like watch them on television kind of be dumb would be like.
No, only if they got kicked off like the second week.
Yeah, that's true.
If they went really far, we're sitting there and then they always throw their exes under the bus. Like, she just didn't love me enough. Or I just didn't. She was just not great.
I'd rather be she didn't love me enough. I hate it when they're just like, I didn't
love her enough. I didn't feel anything for her.
I'm looking for someone really exceptional. And I just haven't found that yet. I would be like, fuck you. Because, like, especially, like, I don't know. Like, when I, like, really care about someone and we break up, then I'm like, we are both amazing people and we didn't work out because we're not right for each other. Like, let's not get into this whole, like, who isn't amazing enough thing, you know? But then you go on The Bachelorette and all that they want to hear is she wasn't amazing enough.
You are amazing, JoJo. You are amazing enough. That's the line. Even if it's not true, that's kind of how the ex conversation goes.
Yeah. Unless, like, to circle back to Wells, because we should always, you're awesome and you're like, no, we just fell out of love.
She doesn't want to hear that. That's the thing. JoJo wants to hear that she is so awesome that she
that
will,
no one could ever
no
fall,
one
out,
could
of
ever
love
fall out of love with her. Like, his ex should have just been like great, but then he realized that he could do better, and that better person was someone like JoJo. Ugh. And she'd be like, "You'll never fall out of love with me, yay! It's perfect." I did feel like it was okay for Derek to say that about his ex, though, because I'm pretty sure she cheated on him and ended their relationship. Remember that?
Yes. And he also didn't go into a lot of details. Yeah. I found that to be fine.
So then Chase, JoJo and Chase have this conversation where she's like, I feel you're not really giving me anything back. And he's like, I'm shocked to hear that, looking completely impassive. And then he's like, I guess I'm just scared and I don't want to be scared, but I guess I can try to be more open with you. And she's like, I think I know who to pick now. Now that I've pried that out of him. So she goes back, says goodbye to Derek.
And Derek gets into a van and just starts weeping.
Just gently weeping.
While Chase and JoJo have a private concert where they are serenaded with Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Oh, my God.
And the editing was just masterful.
Okay, this is rivals the Chad and the Bear situation where I was like, this is a montage that I will remember forever.
It was
my entire
so
life.
There's something
good.
Very
just
weird
his,
going
his
on with the editing
tears.
This season. There's like, this past episode, we had two people sent home on like smaller dates, and both of their exits were edited in this very indie drama.
Unbelievable.
Like,
oh, right.
It's like JoJo was in the artificial rain at a rave when Wells was leaving.
Yeah. I forgot that she had to go to that by herself. It looked horrible to go to with someone
so
else.
Terrible.
And then it's her by herself and she's just like naked people.
And
I don't know.
Like,
it's crazy.
Weeping.
Yeah.
And then sort of slow, like, gauzy shots of her looking pensive and him driving away looking heartbroken. And it's like, this is not The Bachelorette that I recognize.
But I enjoyed it a little bit.
They were getting really artsy.
They're just getting, like, way overqualified producers. That, like, must be it. Because there's this pan of they show, like, the orchestra starting Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And you, like, know what's happening. And then it pans up. And you see the woman standing on the balcony, which happened a lot also this episode. And she starts singing and it's like, oh, my God, that was masterful.
It's just like such a weird thing too to have as a private concert unless you're planning to intercut it with someone leaving.
Exactly.
Like you're not like, oh, this is so romantic. We're being sung to by a single woman alone in a hall.
I would prefer that to being forced to go to a concert and stand on a tiny little raised stage.
So, yes.
Cocktail party.
Cocktail party.
But first, can we talk about Derek speaking in the third person in the limo?
I didn't even get that.
Yeah, I missed that. And then I saw that it had happened on Twitter.
It was so bad. You know, I don't even remember. It was like, Derek doesn't do this. And then it was like, why am I crying? Why am I crying?
I thought that was kind of funny.
And it was just so depressing.
It was just like Cupcake.
Yeah, Cupcake tweeted at Derek last night. Was like, I feel you, man.
Yeah. Like, why am I crying?
Stop it. Stop crying.
Stop crying, Derek.
Yeah, that was hard to watch. And then Jenny McCarthy tweeted at Derek, is it wrong that I have a maniacal laugh while watching Derek cry? And he clapped back really impressively. He said, this is as acceptable as your fight against vaccines.
Hashtag science. Shit.
Get him.
So confirming our theory that Derek might actually be a Democrat.
And is amazing.
That makes two.
Believes in evidence-based science.
I think Evan maybe and Wells maybe.
Okay, you're right. That means like four because Canadian
right.
made Trump comments.
Daniel clearly not a fan of Donald Trump.
So then they go to the cocktail hour. It's very tense. Jordan is stewing over James Taylor's comments about his entitlement. And
still.
Integrity. Alex is like, why am I here?
Fair. I'm asking the same thing.
Why is Alex there?
Alex and James very much know that they are not going to win.
Yeah.
Well, Alex knows he and James aren't going to win. James seems like he thinks maybe he could convince JoJo to love him.
A little fawn in the
headlights. Which, I'm sorry, James, it's not happening. The two of them are certainly going home next week.
I was kind of excited. They kept teasing that she wasn't going to give out her final rose. And I was like, okay, whenever they do this, it's because she wants to give out two final roses and not send anyone home.
I was hoping.
But they drew it out right until
the end. We were really hoping that she was just going to send them both home. But it would have been too quick to get to the final four.
Yeah.
We're not at hometowns
yet. I'm sure that's part of the problem. Yeah, she sent home
two
people. They
need to drag it out a little longer.
And so Alex talks to JoJo and she's like, I don't want you to feel like you're behind. We just need more time. And I was like, he's behind. Like,
and he knows
not
he's
catching
behind.
Up.
He's not a stupid person.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah, he's completely on the nose about it.
She must have known then that she was going to have to keep them all.
They must have told her to, right? Like,
yeah.
Or that she could. Because also because she sent someone home on the one-on-one, which didn't have to happen. So I think that left room for a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah.
She was like, I can't give this out. And I was like, I wouldn't be able to either. Cut them both.
Yeah. They were looking pretty. Well, James is still pretty beat up.
Yeah. His bruise is not healing as quickly as one would hope.
Yeah. He was pretty hangdog. I think that Jordan being upset really got to him, which, like, what did you expect? And what did Jordan and JoJo sort of made up a little bit before the rose ceremony?
They made up. He says to her he wants to be engaged at the end of this and he thinks they can get there and he wants to, quote, do life with her.
Life stuff.
So just end the show.
Right. It's over.
Done.
It's done. He went there. He said, I'll get engaged to you. Like, this is, I'm sorry, it's over.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that Luke might pull this off.
He's just getting such a good edit. It makes me think that they're making a play for Next Bachelor for him.
Yeah. He also, I feel like both of their edits are.
It's like JoJo got a better edit than Lauren did last season.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a hard time, like, more and more imagining her coming down to the end and seeing Jordan as a solid bet.
It doesn't seem wise, but she's 25.
Right, but then she has all these
pro athletes.
Yes.
But then she has all, like, we have those teasers of her being like, I fell in love with you, but I just can't.
I have to believe that's a misdirect. Every season, they tease something dramatic, and almost never is it something that dramatic.
I mean, I don't think that it would be dramatic for her to tell the second place guy, I love you, but you're not the guy for me, and then to choose Luke. I think that would be a pretty normal
conclusion.
I think
that could happen. I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to be Jordan at the end.
I don't, but we're going to see what
happens. We'll see. Because we do not read spoilers, so we'll see.
But Jordan gets a rose, and they all get roses. So
happy fam.
What the hell are we even talking about? But Alex gets pretty upset. Well, when she leaves, she says, Alex and James Taylor are the ones left. Chris is like, it's time for the final rose.
And she walks out.
She's like, I can't do this. I can't give out this rose.
Alex is very indignant. He's like, I want JoJo to come here to do what she's here to do and give me a rose, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not one job.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, you had one job, JoJo,
to give out all these roses right now.
But then he gets one, and he's like, I don't want your pity rose.
Yeah.
He's like, not stupid. Want, also, he's correct.
He is correct.
Both did get, sure, I'll keep you around one more week, maybe two, if I only send one person home next week.
It's just funny, the change in demeanor from when he thought Derek got a pity rose, and he was so smug and dickish about it. And now he's got the pity rose, and he's like, just a mess. He's like, I don't want a pity rose, you know? Like, we just got pity roses, and this is like, what's the point? And I was like, oh, he's like falling apart at the seams.
Also, I'm so sorry, but that's how this works.
Yep.
Like, she keeps people around she's not actually into.
Or else the show would be over.
Yeah. She's probably
And that's
done.
Exactly what
it's
Alex
like she's
actually,
into about three people.
That's the same thing
Robbie,
Alex even said.
Luke and Jordan.
Yeah.
She's maybe a little into Chase. But anyone who gets, rarely does someone win who's on a 2-on-1.
But that's the same thing that Alex said, too, is he said, I hope that she picks one of us and does what she came here to do, basically. So he is very attached to the rules of her picking people, regardless of whether she wants them there or not.
Seems like a rules kind of guy.
Right. Until she does pick people and he's one of the people. And then he has to, like, confront the fact that he was the last choice, basically.
I'm so
and then
nervous
he's like,
for his exit.
Oh, I know. I feel like he's going to have like a Joe style.
He's
going to
have a meltdown.
Yeah.
It's imminent. So before we wrap
it's too
up,
late.
We want to hear a little bit about your potential journey to true love.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Next season.
So set the scene for us. Explain exactly what you did. You went to an open casting call in New York City, right?
Yes. So we looked up open casting calls. Of course, there's one in New York. And it was me, one of our editors, Susie, and one of our editorial fellows, Zoe, who all went. And it's 6 to 8 right after work. We zoomed up and got in line with a million other people in like 6-inch heels and loose curls who had clearly taken the day off.
What were you wearing?
You want to be prepared.
Oh, I was deeply unprepared.
Maybe those girls just wear that to work every day.
Okay, maybe they do, though. I had, like, jeans on. I forgot about it, so I had my gym bag with me, which was really cute, especially when we're going through security, and they're like, can we check your bag? And I was like, don't touch anything in it. yeah, so it was just, like, it was a lot more normal people than I thought would be there, but also a lot of people who I was like, you went to a salon first.
I would go to a salon first.
Totally.
I mean, I'd be like, I get a blowout 3 times a year. This is going to be one of them.
Absolutely. And those will be the people who get it, so.
Yeah, I don't think that would be enough to get me on the show, though, to be honest.
So you waited in a really long line.
Yes, more
then
lines.
Then you got into the actual building.
Yes, so the line was giant. There were people drinking in line. Which,
what? Did they bring drinks or were they?
Well, the line was so long that I feel like once people got there, they were like, what are we going to do? Let's go get wine. So there was champagne behind us, wine ahead of us. Someone ordered a pizza, which I support 100%.
Respect.
Yeah, and then people like brought stuff with them to have weird gimmicks. And one girl brought her tiny little, like, 5-month-old Yorkie. And so she's carrying the little Yorkie around.
That
and then,
poor dog.
Right? And then
she's
we get to the
She's
going
to have to get another 5-month-old Yorkie for her entrance on The Bachelor.
I know. She's going
to It's going to be too old by then.
And the security guard is like, oh, we can't allow dogs in the building. And so she just leaves it outside while she goes into audition. sadist.
That's like leaving your infant outside.
Right?
Oh, my God.
So what does the actual audition entail? Did you have to fill out an extensive form?
Yes. So you go through security. They give you a questionnaire. And then they take your pictures. Headshot, full body shot, obviously.
Was anyone like, let me strip down to a bikini now?
Yeah, I was like, should I take off all my clothes? Do you want to just check?
What are we working with there?
I'll let you know up front. So then we filled out the questionnaires, which were absurd. Like, I expected a lot of questions that were like, what are your hobbies? What do you look for? Which they asked a few of those, but mostly it was like height, weight, number of tattoos. Like, they're very about the numbers.
Wow. Reminds me of the Millionaire Matchmaker.
Yeah, totally. And then when they handed us the packet, the woman was like, you don't need to fill out the social security blank. And I was like, thank you for telling me I don't need to put my social security number on your application.
Why is there one?
What?
For a background check?
I assume so. Also, the idea that people would fill it out, like, they could have just gotten everyone's social right. numbers, all of their identities.
That is terrifying.
It was silly. So then you fill that out, and then you enter yet another line, which was a fun time. And then they do, like, a two-minute on-camera interview with you.
What did they ask you?
Basically just questions that were on the packet. They were like, tell us about your dating history.
What did you say?
I was like, okay, you're going to need to sit down. This is 4 seconds long. I've had one boyfriend. Thank you, bye. Should I leave now?
Were you like, and it was emotionally traumatizing.
Yeah, you had to craft a narrative out of it. It's like, once I did open myself up to love, but then he made me feel like I wasn't good enough because our relationship ended
mutually.
I'm unlovable. No, I was like, we lived together and then we just were friends. They were like, we've heard that before.
Yeah. From Wells.
Didn't work the first time. And then that was it. We were done.
Wow.
It was so fast. I can't believe I was number 200. I was like in the middle of the pack. So I imagine there were at least 400 or 500 people there, which is crazy.
Wow. That sounds like a fun way
I
to
really
spend an
evening.
I really
want someone to get all the way in because I just want to send a mole.
Oh, my God.
To tell me
so
all
much.
The secrets.
I'm sure as soon as you write journalist on your packet,
they're like, goodbye.
Hey, bye.
Well, they had Izzy was like a blogger or something, right?
Someone yeah, and Olivia was actually worked at a local news
right.
station.
That's true.
You have to leave your, you have to say, I will put my career on hold 1,000% for this.
I wonder what my boss would say.
You have to wear a HuffPost t-shirt the whole time.
Oh, God. Wow, that sounds really frightening.
It was not as scary as I thought it would be, but also just like I felt very much like I did not belong in that room.
Yeah.
Of people,
oh my God.
You know?
I would just feel so self-conscious in that kind of crowd.
Well, I remember when I went to the Valentine's Day like bachelor auction with it was like Ashley, I threw it with all of the guys who were on the show, and like everyone there was in a bandage dress.
Yes.
And like 6-inch stiletto sandals.
Just a lot of, I mean, respect. It's just a lot of work.
And I was, but I was just like, I was like, this isn't a casting. I was like, you can pay a bunch of money and one of these guys will spend half an hour with you, but like, they're not here to like date you. Like, this isn't, this isn't the first cocktail party. This isn't,
wants to meet someone.
Yeah, I was like, it doesn't matter what you look like, but I could be there in jeans. I think I wore, like, tights and, like, a black shift or something, and I looked super underdressed.
You were like, I'm in a funeral
outfit,
and everyone else
I was like, this is, like, a nice outfit, and I got there, and everyone else was basically, like, looked like they were on the red carpet, but, like, tighter.
So much effort. I was like, they can all tell I played clarinet in high school. Like, they know I was in marching band.
So was Jennifer Garner, I think.
Oh, my God.
I think I read that somewhere.
So
she was so awkward.
Could be me.
Oh, well, thank you so much for going on the inside and
sharing this
story.
What an adventure. It was, you know, it was a journey. It was a journey to love.
A very brief and wondrous journey.
I'm sure my husband was in the room.
Probably. And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
For this week's Feminism Fails, aside from all the guys acting pretty macho and aggro the whole time, we just had a few specific moments we wanted to highlight. First of all, Alex insists that the two-on-one date is about the best man winning because he can just never calm down about manhood and he needs to give it a try. We're going to give that a 3.
And then during the soccer date, the men say, if you make the goal, you get to kiss the girl. Like she's a prize. JoJo just doesn't even get a say in it. We're going to give that a 4 because, as we have to say again, women are not objects. They're humans.
Yeah. And once again, they finish the soccer date by carrying JoJo off like a trophy. Can I give that a 4? She does seem into these things, but the messaging that it's sending is pretty uncomfortable. Again, women, not trophies. Just write that over and over again in your little notebooks.
Yeah, on your chalkboard 100 times. And now for our tweet of the week. This week, it comes from Matt Belisai. That's at Matt Belisai. Watching grown men cry is the reason I own a television. I think that one's a shout out to you, Derek.
Yeah, and same, honestly.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our guest, Julia Bush, and thanks to our producer, Nick Offenberg.
Do you want to make our whole entire day? Here's an idea. Find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people find our show. And in related news, Here to Make Friends is now on Facebook. So please like us. It makes us feel so loved, and you'll see all the fun updates we post. You can also find us both on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose. Or you can send us an email. We love those, you know, as long as they're kind. Here to make friends at HuffingtonPost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.